Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
There's blood everywhere!
Oh no!
Somebody call 611.
611?
Yeah, I don't want anybody actually calling 911. I felt horrible with the new telephone system at work. The lady behind me dialed 911 and then the 1-800 after a 911 was dispatched to our place.
That's horrible.
This is the April Fool's edition of Paranormal Investigator Radio. I'm Peter. I just ate my fourth donut, Leonard.
You've had four of those.
They're so good.
I ate half a bag of Skittles Steve Roscoe.
Did you have a donut yet?
Yes, I did. Oh, jeez. I'm going into sugar coma before the night is out.
You kids are crazy. And I'm Mark Berry.
So we just finished our show on liveparanormal.com, history.fm. Started talking about Egyptology, but since we don't really have anything paranormal to talk about tonight, we're going to talk
about
dead air. That's a good
one. No. How about demons?
Again.
Let's switch it up a little bit.
Demon semen.
Well, no, we're not talking about that.
That's that call I got at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't think we've covered it really too much. How about ethics? I know you talked about it a while before.
Okay.
And we got into the topic a little bit in the last show with the...
Can we just finish with last show? Steve was talking about rim shots last
time. Yeah.
Ethics and why you shouldn't have them.
This will give us a chance to prepare something for the Egyptian stuff for next time. I'm versed a little bit, not on the spot like that. We've discussed ethics from time to time, and we got into it a little bit in the last show because we were discussing people claiming to be demonologists and claiming everything in someone's home's a demon and how damaging it can be to everything that what we're doing and even to the people, especially to the people who are involved. I mean, if you have someone come into your home, you don't want them telling you, oh, your house is infested with demons, especially if it's just the floorboards that are a little loose and maybe a squirrel in the rafters. You have to really be careful with what you say, and that's something we've always done. It comes down to, I think, an ethical standing. If you're going to tell somebody something's definitely in their home, I think you should have the proof to back it up. And my concern is most people aren't going to necessarily ask for that proof. They're going to simply say, hey, someone said it's in my house, and they'll be scared witless. So what's, Steve, especially as a case manager, and you see more of the cases now, what would you say is probably the most important thing for these, for a team going in to say to someone?
Well, first of all, you don't tell the homeowner that you have demons in your house, and we've actually come across a case or two of that kind of situation. But as case manager, if I'm going into home and somebody tells me, well, I think I have demons, well, you can't necessarily have that in your mind when you go into a home,
and they don't mean their children,
right? Yeah. But you can't have that as going into a consultation. You're going into that home. You can't be thinking, oh, my goodness, this place has got demons in it. This place has got demons in it. But what you do is you go into the residence with an open mind, looking for specific things, maybe animals or what have you. But you don't go in and thinking, oh, my God, this place has got demons.
And that's something else that I think is extremely important as well. The idea of going in with an open mind, you can't go in assuming something's there because you're going to psych yourself out. Whether it's somebody saying they have a ghost or they have a demon, or you listen to what they have to say to you, and you believe them in the sense that something's going on. Not that we ever don't believe when someone tells us something. It's just we can't walk in saying, oh, my God, you have ghosts.
Well, here's the thing, too, Mark, and I'm sorry for cutting you off real quick, but something's going on in the mind of the homeowner because they're calling you complete strangers to come in and help them.
No, absolutely. And it does take some people to the point where they're at their wit's end, and this is the last resort. And that's why we take everything they say seriously. Something is happening to make them believe it.
And how many times have you come across a homeowner that has actually said to you, oh my goodness, I hope you don't think I'm crazy?
Almost every consultation.
Almost every one of them.
No, that's the thing. And that's what I'm kind of what I'm gearing towards a little bit. We can't go in believing the place is haunted. We can't go in assuming the place has got something going on. We have to believe something is occurring to make this person believe that. And we have to go in neutrally.
Can I interject?
Absolutely not.
This is why, for those budding paranormal investigators out there, this is why other teams don't like us. They think that we're all for show and this and that. The thing is, we've taken a stand a long time ago. We as a group, and Mark's been around since the beginning, we always said, we're going to go into the client, we're going to tell them how it is, we're going to do our thing the way it needs to be done, and we're just going to do it. Do we do it the best way? My arrogance always will say yes, but it's never failed us. We go in, we treat the client with respect, we listen to everything they say. And one of the first things, even like when Steve's group was the first expansion group, and Steve might even remember me saying this to him, I said, if you go into a consultation and some lady tells you that Jesus comes over for dinner every Wednesday night, the first question you ask her is, does he put gravy on those potatoes? I said, you don't laugh at her? You don't make fun of her?
I remember that conversation too, Pete, believe it or not.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, we're building a case at that point. It's a case study. That's what most of these are, is we're trying to determine what's going on. Maybe it's something, a condition in the home, be it like the high EM in the house or something causing hallucinations. Maybe there is something happening we can't actually explain. I can't tell you why a door, it's heavy, slam shut, opens again, slams. That doesn't happen. You don't, unless your house is completely cocked the wrong direction, all your windows are open and you have the weirdest through draft ever, which could be the case. But we can't go in, you can't go in anywhere assuming something is going on.
No.
If you walk into a dark room and tell yourself the place is haunted, you're going to experience something every single time. It's you're psyching yourself out. And that seems to be the case with most of these situations I've seen lately. People walk into somebody's house assuming automatically they're there to hunt ghosts. Well, we're not hunting ghosts. We're not chasing shadows. We're not stabbing at demons. Busting demons, I think, was the term I used last time. Mm-hmm. We're simply investigating. And that's our purpose. That's what we do. And that's we're there to collect data. I'll never call it evidence either. A lot of people do. It's a term that's been used because of the popularity of it, but it's not even really evidence in that sense. We just provide the homeowner what we find and
tell
them what
we believe. We're just trying to find some kind of like you said, you don't want to say evidence, but we want to verify there's something going on in the home that could be of paranormal
occurrence. If it's something we can't explain, and if it is something we can't explain, we'll be the first person to tell the homeowner, well, that cold spot you're getting is because they didn't install insulation in part of your house. And that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Bust out our thermal, look at a wall and say, well, there's a reason that wall is extremely cold. It's not because a ghost is hanging out over there. It's because your contractor tried jipping you out of quite a bit of money. And that has happened. And there's times, I mean, Pete will even attest to it, that when he got buzzed in a warehouse by some bats. I mean, you call it a breeze, but when we have it on the thermal, that they're literally buzzing by his head and on a nice little strafing run there.
Thank God I didn't see him. I could hear him.
You can tell there's a lot going on. I mean, and more often than not, and we've said it 90-95% of the cases we go on, we can explain something. Lately, we've seemed to be getting more and more we can't explain, which is interesting. But I think it's because we've worked out a lot of what we can. But it does come down to ethics. And you can't lie to your clients. You can't tell them that you're automatically going to walk in. You can't walk in automatically and assume something's happening. You have to walk in and assume something. You can't assume something paranormal is happening. Something's going on to make the person believe this.
How about the groups that throw furniture into the wall and say a ghost made it move?
Yeah.
This one hits home specifically, I think, on us a little bit. We know of a group at one point in time that did an investigation that decided to blame damage done to home furniture or furniture in the location on spirits, saying, oh, a ghost threw that chair or a ghost threw that stand. I highly doubt that that was the case. I think more it was... the night was going very dully because they didn't have any real gumption to push for anything. And all of a sudden, oh no, a chair flew across the room that everyone saw you lift up and throw. That's just horrible. And you always take, I'm sorry, it's also something else to do with ethics. If you ever damage something in someone's home, which we do our best to never, ever do at any circumstance, you always own up to it and take care of it. I remember feeling horrible after breaking a light bulb at the Hulbert house once.
I remember that.
And, or no, yep. it was a ball with a dome.
Yes.
And it got replaced, and it got replaced rather quickly, and Dave was right on top of that when that happened, and it got cleaned up and taken care of by us, and I felt like crap after doing it, but I realized afterwards, too, that stuff happens. So we do take care of everything we possibly can, but hey.
So if I'm to understand you, we go into a home, and we respect our client and what they want us to do.
I know it's extremely baffling.
Is that what I'm trying to understand?
That's what we do.
And you have to listen. I think that's one of the most misconstrued things by teams. You have to listen to what your client is saying, but more importantly, what they're not saying.
That's true, too. Mm-hmm. I remember going on a lot of these consultations. I haven't been in a while, and I really should start going at some point. But I remember being in a lot of these consultations and sitting down and talking to people. And if you've seen the file folder, I mean, we have a, 10-page consultation form, which is amazing. We have to redo it again, but it's amazing. And we constantly update those as much as we can now. But we've gone through it. It has questions that has to do with what's going on in the home. We have questions about medical background, spiritual background. I mean, we tell people we're not the police. You don't have to answer the questions if you don't want to.
But the more nosy we'd like an educator.
The more information we have, the easier it is to make some kind of case. Now, some of these folders, a manila folder with the documents inside of it, front and back of every page is filled out. Mm-hmm. The folder, inside and outside, I have things written, scribbled, scrap paper. Everything is filled because of everything that they've said. I'm cataloging the stories. And then, as Pete said, I'm paying attention to what they're not saying, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's times people will either psych themselves out or leave something out intentionally, or maybe leave something out unwittingly that does say a lot.
Now, do you think have you two ever had this happen? Do you think people toss out little tidbits just to see a reaction and then more sensational information comes out, and then they're testing the waters again, and then more sensational than the sensational? It may not be that they're trying to bait you, but I think it's they themselves are worried that you're not going to believe what they're saying.
Or take them seriously. And sure. Actually, yeah, I would say that.
If what I'm trying to say makes sense.
No, it
does.
Probably
not wording that right, but.
I would say that I've had both occur, both someone who is a bit uncomfortable talking about it and not sure how far they can explain something before I say, oh, you're crazy, and walk out the house. I've had someone who I'm fairly sure who's gone through that, and I absolutely believe that they were very genuine. And then I've had someone come through saying one thing, and then all of a sudden it escalates, and then it escalates again because I'm still writing and I'm still paying attention. And at the end, I'm pretty sure they were having dinner with Jesus every Wednesday at that point. So it escalates to a point where I think that at that point, yes, they're just asking of you far more than is even believable. But hey, we have to take everything down. At that point, I start recommending psychiatric help when they're baiting me because I know they're baiting me.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, people are very genuine when they call us, and they try and stay. And you can tell when they're on the phone with you, or even when you're face to face. A lot of times, they're at wits' end, and they don't want to be crazy, and that's why they contact us. And that's why it's so important for people to have respect for their clients and actually take them seriously, take these investigations seriously. You can't go in screaming demons. You can't go in saying your house is haunted by the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. You have to be very serious about it.
So you guys are from the Missouri School of Ghost Hunting. Show me.
Hey,
sure. Yeah,
that sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those guys that has to happen to me for me to believe it, full on believe it. Otherwise, I'm going to be skeptical of it. But I'm not going to dismiss it. I'm going to be skeptical of it.
Steve and I were laughing because there's been a few that we've gone to consultations and then in the car we're joking on the way home. That person's bat poop crazy. But as I say that jokingly, we go and we do the investigation 100%. We give it our all, and like we said, we took their story seriously. We went in, and more often than not, we will find some kind of occurrence or something that's happened to report back to them.
Especially lately. It happens, seems to be more common. But that is a good point, and I think it is. If you're going to be genuine with us, we'll be genuine with you. And if you're lying to us, more often than not, we know. Sure. We've done this long enough. We've had conversational consultations often enough. We can tell when someone's not being completely forward with us. And it really does take a lot for somebody to come out and say some of the stuff, but if you're outright lying, we can usually tell. And if we can't tell in the consultation, we can tell in the investigation. We show up and there's two kegs of loud music, and you know, you can be pretty sure you can smell out back that they're growing something they shouldn't be. I mean, that kind of situation. You tend to notice that all 48 people that are present at the investigation that aren't on your team really shouldn't be there.
Pace right. The bills.
Well, I'll tell you though, we've had a couple of those investigations where we went to, and I've missed.
I'm sorry.
and I've missed both of them, so I am so glad. But back to what you were saying.
Well, you shouldn't be, because that one, the bread that they had there with the sandwiches was phenomenal. Oh, my Lord. That spread of food.
And don't take that wrong. I mean, we absolutely will not turn someone down if they just want to have us hang out for entertainment, explain what we do. But
just
tell us that beforehand, because it saves us the backache of carrying in heavy cases we're not going to need, and have us...
Saves Mark from backache.
It lets me maintain the ability to breed. We'll just leave it at that.
The one we had about 2 months ago, the Italian in me almost came out, because it was one of them, do not wear shirts, don't show up and mark vehicles, yes. Don't do this. We want it as small as possible. And then we show up and there's 15 people there that have already been drinking. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
I canceled my plans to come do this tonight because it was such an emergency that you needed it done. And we couldn't find an actual team to get in there. I think there were like four or five ended up going. But
and now it's a party.
And like I said, we don't have a bar mitzvah's birthday. Sure, whatever. Just let us know beforehand. I kid a little bit about that, but I have no problem going somewhere and sitting down talking to somebody for a few hours about what we do. We're doing it right now.
I wouldn't either.
So I don't have a problem with it. Just please let us know beforehand if that's the case.
But when we have to tell our spousal unit that we need to go do an emergency consultation investigation.
And then you come home smelling like beer and cigarettes and you had nothing to do with either. There's a good issue there.
Yeah.
Paranormal bed sheets. You want to make a little ghost, Missy? Let's go get a sheet. Okay, that's no. We do parties, bar mitzvahs, weddings, and baptisms. It's the same as an exorcism, but we won't do an exorcism.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, prior to the mid to late 70s, anybody who was ordained, went through the ministry, received the right to exorcism as well as baptism. And there's two more. I can't remember that. Most of them are rolled up into a series now. I think during baptism, isn't an exorcism performed as well?
A baptism is the first exorcism, yes.
So essentially that is there at least. But
it is just the rebuking of the curiosity. Devil. Your parents are rebuking the devil for you. And then when you're old enough, there's confirmation where you yourself rebuke the devil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Until you see it's that cute redhead working at the 7-Eleven around the corner with the really short shorts. And you know. Rebuking's not so easy at that point, right, Steve? No.
I was going to say, how
big
would
sexy
I
Steve Roscoe.
Dr. Steve Switzerland. I invented Swiss Miss Cocoa.
Somehow we have two gynecologists in the group now.
Yes.
So, respect... Listen to your client. There's got to be more. Do we have any more?
Well, there's...
Do not ever charge a client. If we find out that you are charging a client...
We're coming for you.
We have not ever charged a client. We have never profited one penny from a client or anything we've done for them.
And that's absolutely the case. And we stand very firmly behind that.
I've spent an incredible amount of money on gas, pooping and peeing in gas stations because I was away from home, eating food that is not healthy for me.
Snowstorms.
Actually,
almost dying falling off a cliff during the middle of a snowstorm on the middle of a mountain that just never ended.
It was lake.
It just kept going.
It was a 10-foot drop on one side that fell into a lake that was only partially frozen. And it was another 5 to 10 feet on the right side that went down into a ditch that I can't explain was at the bottom. And it was snowing so hard you couldn't see 20 feet in front of you. The lights were making it even more blinding. And there was only one lane on the road at that point in time with cars going both ways.
I know when
when
we passed St. Michael standing on the bottom of the hill yelling at us, what are you, friggin' nuts? I knew there was a problem. But we went.
And that is something we stand very adamantly behind. And that is we never charge. We never will charge. Our services like that aren't designed to make us money. It's not the purpose of what we do. Yes, we've all, Pete more so than many of us, have invested quite a bit of money into this.
Mm-hmm.
But how can we charge? What are we doing?
That's the problem. And this is, I offer this to any team out there who might be listening or otherwise is out there in general. Feel free to call me, contact us. Justify to me how you're charging. I mean, some people charge by the mile and they attempt to justify that. Okay, I can understand you want to get compensated. We're a dues paying membership for a reason. We pay dues to be available to support people, which is part of why we say, please let us know you're going to be doing a party type thing instead of just an investigation. Because again, that is coming out of our dues to take care of that as an emergency for you. If it's not an emergency, let us know. But in reality, yes. I mean, we don't charge mileage. We don't charge anything of the person. We never will. That's because, one, I can't guarantee you I'm going to walk into your house and find a ghost. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to charge you $400 to find a ghost, guaranteed, I'm lying to you when I walk in that door. That's the problem. If I'm going to charge you for a consultation, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a caseworker, I'm not a
doctor. You're not a trained professional of any kind.
Well, I'm a very professional person, and I'm trained by both my own learning and the rest of the team and what we do. But that is true, too.
We're not certified
yes. because there is no certification.
Yes.
I'm not a certified electrician. I'm not a certified paranormal investigator.
There are certified paranormal investigators.
I can get certified just like I can get a PhD in demonology. $25 online, you get a certification. $100 somewhere, you get a certification.
Mine cost me $99. I used to have one. But that's, an exorcism from the California Pacific University of Law and Agriculture, or whatever it was called.
And that's the concern we have.
Right.
So if you'd like to call in now that we've completely upset the balance, it's 1-888-429-5471. Again, toll free in the United States or Canada. This is Paranormal Investigator Radio at 1-888-429-5471. Yes, the charging is one of the quickest things that'll get our
dander up. Yes.
And it's something that's become so common. And people do it for paranormal investigating. People do it for cleansings, which even more so agitates me. Because who are you to cleanse a home? And if you're someone who's authorized to do it, you're not going to charge because it's already not legitimate from that standpoint. So if you have authorization to do it, you're not charging. And if you're not authorized to do it and you're doing it, you're causing problems and you're charging someone. That's never a good combination.
No, it's not.
So it bears to question, what right does anyone who does this have to charge someone to do it? I mean, what can I prove to you? I've already said before, we have no proof of the paranormal. We have many, many things we cannot explain. We have many, many bits of what some call evidence, and we simply call findings. I can't explain to you how a door on a huge naval ship slammed shut against the tilt of the boat with no wind. I can't explain that to you, not one bit. I personally lashed it shut. It slammed shut. We have it on camera. Can I explain it? No. Can I call it proof of something? Not necessarily. So how can someone charge you for that? An electrician can charge you to do your wiring. You know it works when you flip your light switch.
Mm-hmm.
A contractor can charge you to build a house because you know it's there when it's done. I can't give you a ghost. If I could, I'd have a lot less enemies.
Can I put you two on the spot? This is a theory I've had.
Shoot.
If we go to do an investigation and they have a spread of food out, they usually have some kind of paranormal activity versus places that don't put food out. Do you concur?
Actually,
if you think back to the cases that we've been on.
Give me a second on this one. I think this almost might be a correlation.
So we should let the teams know the minute they get there, if there are food or snacks put out, they're going to have paranormal activity.
And maybe that's just because you're, you know, catching somebody's stomach digesting a few hours later. But who knows?
See, the last
something
two, nothing.
Seems to go on.
Last two, there were no food, no activity.
That's right.
Maybe. There's correlation, but it doesn't necessarily imply that anything is truly connected.
What the hell did we eat on the naval yard, though? Did we eat the naval yard?
Unless someone passed tremendous gas, I'm sure that door would not have shut. Not like it did. Those things are heavy.
Was it one of your Crip buddies? Mark was over there making fun with the
I'm
local
pretty sure
gang
I got recruited
with the local gang members.
I'm pretty sure I got recruited into some kind of street gang unwittingly, but I will say Buffalo is a very interesting place, and there's a lot that goes on there. And when we were walking the Naval Yard before going in for our investigation, I just so happened to get stopped because we were all in uniform, that someone wanted to know about the paranormal. It just so happened to be three or four guys, one of which I guarantee you was carrying something illegal. The other two may have been armed. And I had a good time talking to them.
Pretty sure they were.
They were very nice gentlemen at that point. Whether or not they continued to be nice when they left, I don't know. Maybe somebody got thrown in the naval yard that night, and that's why we heard things.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get jacked, so that was a good...
I think we had their protection that night. I'm not positive, but I think that we had something good going there. But no, legitimately, though, it was a very interesting place.
That's a new gang we're going to start, the Ghost Makers. We make them, then we investigate them.
I may or may not have said that to somebody before.
No, I was thinking of that as we were talking. I'm like, wait a minute. Every time we've had significant things happening, it's always been food out.
There is a correlation. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean, again, that it's connected, but it does seem to be happening that way.
Think of Woodgate. Always a beautiful spread. Always something going on.
Yeah, that's true.
But they're also very authentic.
Although there was there was the one in Rome 3 times. We went back. Nothing happened.
Sausage bread was amazing.
Sausage bread was amazing. That was before Steve. I'm sorry.
You missed out on some good bread. But yes, it does seem to be, humorously enough, it does seem to be the case more often than not. Not that there is any real connection.
No. Just unless of course chops, but. Although they're hospitable ghosts, maybe they made them put that out.
Yeah, that's a possession I can deal with.
I say we go back so I can sample that sausage bread.
I'm sure they'd have us back. They have a bigger collection of paranormal books than we do, I think.
Really?
Yes, they do. That was one of those ones where I believe they were more psyching themselves out.
Yes.
Something may have been happening. We didn't find anything anytime we were there.
Okay.
But it seemed to be a very... It started with one claim. It escalated. It escalated again. It wasn't not want to say crazy or obscene. It wasn't so out there that it didn't make any possible sense. One was, but it was one of those things where it seemed to got, it gets worse every time after, oh, we didn't find anything. Well, it got worse. This happened too. You have to come back. It's like, well, you didn't tell us that last time. Why didn't you tell us before? We didn't think it was important. Really? So
I'd go back now just to experiment with the different crew and different people. I mean,
and that was the one that actually, it did have an old instrument, a piano actually, that was, it had a self-resonating charge on it.
Really?
It could have just been because of the construction of the device, of it, the wires and everything, but it picked up a charge off the grounded pipes next to it.
An upright piano.
But it was actually really interesting. It was in a basement. It couldn't have been put into unless it was put there before the building was built.
The house
which was
built
the case.
around the piano.
Was it really?
Yep. Wow. So it's interesting, but again, nothing came of it. Really, it didn't play itself, unfortunately, despite the requests.
But see, when we were doing those, that was during that period, dare I say, we were relying heavily on the results of technology. We were in that scientific phase. Should I use that term?
Even today, we're not, and that's something too, we're not scientists, I guess. We do follow some kind of protocol. We attempt to maintain a scientific viewpoint, but you really can't apply it directly to what we do. We do use a lot of scientific equipment. We do use a lot of the principles. I mean, the good doctor there certified more things than I can count, and all of those research protocols and principles are great because they help us out.
He's got more cities after his name than an atlas.
But in reality, it's nice to have that kind of training and that kind of experience on the team because it does give us another edge and an idea behind how we view things and how we research and how we look into
things.
Sure
does.
And just the fact that we have that, and Pete, you're a historian. I mean, you've dedicated a good portion of your life to research and discovering things that, and connections to things that maybe none of us ever considered before. And those things really do give us an edge, I think. And there's a lot of people out there that do their research and do look things up and do try and find as much as they can. But then they also walk right into the place saying, it's a ghost. So they kind of just completely removed everything they did before and all this amazing research and discovery, what they did, they'll walk in and say, oh yeah, this is obviously so-and-so because it said so in the history of the house that they died here. It has to be them. That's not necessarily the case.
That's right.
But that's something that Pete's even covered before, is that if there's a history, it's good to know it, especially if you're doing something like the voice question answers, that kind of questioning or discussion with what might be there, is because if there's something there, wouldn't you rather be addressed by name than said, hey, you, are you a boy
or
a girl?
Sure, absolutely. I think knowing the history of a place before you go in it gives you a slight edge. It absolutely does. Yeah. For in other words, my view, you have to know the history of the place before you go into it.
Oh, absolutely.
But some people don't want to. And I can understand that. As long as the research is done at some point.
Right. And yes, you are right. A lot of people don't want that information before because they think it'll taint or tarnish what they're finding. Which, hey, that might be the case. That's also why we're not always all informed of what's going on or what has happened. That's usually something that research is done by yourself or someone else on the team and usually kept more or less off to the side.
And I think we covered this on this show before, but there's just most of the equipment out there. It's just flashy lights. And,
yes.
And I don't want to use the word crap because that's...
Oh, I do, but I'm not going to because that would be nice.
Everything has its purpose, and the purpose that stuff is invented for is usually in the realm of events.
Entertainment.
And that's actually, that's a good thing to cover to at least a degree. We started out using pretty much audio recorders, cameras, and a K2. And the K2 became very popular. Television, I think it was what Ghost Hunters was the first people to use it.
Yes.
So it became amazingly...
Chris Fleming was the actual first.
It became amazingly popular through television, and everybody picked one up. Now, there are concepts, there are ideas behind EM waves and the possible presence of spirits. So it does have some kind of power to it, I guess, or use to it. And we've used hundreds of... Well, we've used them hundreds of times, hundreds of them. I almost... We have quite a few at this point. And we have worked with K2 a little bit in the past, and I'd love to work with them again, and I think we could really make some kind of headway with them in trying to develop something new for the paranormal world. They have a far better production line than we have available to us, but we even try and invent some of our own stuff based on ideas we've had or concepts and theories. Mm-hmm. But you look at what it does, and it's a great device. It's great for what it was originally designed for, and it's EMF safe range meter is what it really is.
Yes.
Or detector. It's not even a meter. It doesn't really measure truly. It just detects certain levels. And it's good. It has the lights on it. It looks great. It's nice for television. It's nice for what we do in events. It's nice for what we do in investigations. It's great for questions and answer sessions because are you here? Please interact with this. And you see the lights go up. Mm-hmm. Was it your phone? Was it Wi-Fi? Was it a walkie-talkie going off? Maybe. We've had walkie-talkies trip motion lights.
But should we point out, knowing Dr. Dave's work on the black K2...
Yes.
That K2 over all the other devices is an instantaneous reading.
Most of the other devices require saturation in the field before they'll give a direct reading. Mm-hmm. Some will, you walk into a high field, it'll instantly show change, but not a precise change. It'll take time. It takes time to saturate to be showing just what's there. Some of that first change might be minute, might not actually show exactly what it is. But then you have the K2, which because of the way it's designed is the Hall effect sensors when they trip. Dave would know far more than I do. Unfortunately, he's not here. He's teaching a Photoshop class, actually, I believe. He's following up on his moonlighting of gynecology, right?
How to Photoshop gynecology.
But
no.
It trips and it instantly shows a change in the LEDs. Simultaneous with the tripping, it triggers the next series and there's your LED lighting up. So it's pretty much immediate. That's a good thing, and it's handy for what we do. We've experienced things, however, though, that have been designed specifically for the paranormal, according to a lot of the things out there about them. And most of what we use was never designed specifically for the paranormal. We have EMF sensors, detectors, meters. We have thermal imaging systems. We have all kinds of cameras and audio recorders, none of which were designed specifically for paranormal use. We have other detectors, other readers, other meters. We've had, what was that, the thing we had?
That's almost a rap song. I got meters and readers and all kinds of paranormal beaters. Yeah.
The
it went to red. That means the dead. Yeah.
MCP.
No, I'm sorry.
MCP.
Freestyle rap.
MCP. But that is the case. And a lot of things we use do have backing in person. Personally, sure. I think they do. They work great for what we think they're supposed to work for, what we've assigned them a duty to do. But there are devices. We discussed one at one point a couple of shows ago.
A whoopee cushion?
We have used a whoopee cushion. Legitimately have used a whoopee cushion. You figure if something's supposedly sitting and there's supposedly an impact, it should make the whoopee cushion sound, right? Hey,
maybe. You think, yep.
Never exclude anything as a possibility. And that's why when I say something doesn't work, it's because I've looked at it. Looked into it. I've researched it. And there's no concept there.
We use touch lamps also, so...
Well, there's the idea of that even. I mean, yep. And that's... that kind of sensor should, in theory and in concept, trip. And does it? Well, we've had it happen. Does it mean something's there? No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Humidity could have changed. And honestly, that could have been all.
Absolutely.
So I'm browsing Facebook here, not to change it up a little bit, goes along the lines of your ethics. I have maybe 1,000 of these paranormal groups I've liked. And how do you stay above the drama? Do you want to take that on? These people just post every five minutes about drama.
I have written page upon page upon page about Facebook specifically in paranormal groups, but even more so, there's going to be drama in every popular field of anything, be it music, be it paranormal, be it art, be it anything. There's going to be drama. I don't care if it's because your newest favorite TV show has that someone's going to hate it and have an opinion. And the paranormal has almost become one of those arguing points where it's getting almost as bad as saying, you know, politics or religion online. You can't discuss that or paranormal now.
It's like right here. You stole my game piece. I'm going to steal your game piece. I'm paraphrasing. I'm cleaning out my friends list. I hate you. I hate them. I mean,
but that does happen.
Who are we here to help? We don't care about anybody else.
That's one of the things I want to touch on quick, especially is this Facebook frenzy, I guess. Facebook's a great tool for social networking. Always has been, probably always, well, will be for at least the next couple of years. There's this epidemic, I'm going to call it, of like chaining, I think is the term, where if I like your page, you like mine. And then you should like these people too, and these people too, and these people too. And it becomes this ongoing chain of, I like this person, I like this person, I like this person. And to me, I think, at least from a professional standpoint, I'm giving you some of my credibility when I like a page, because I'm saying that I approve of what they post and their content. And if I go to your page and you ask me to like your page and you're posting pictures of orbs, dust, and ghost apps, I'm not going to like it.
No.
And I'm personally probably going to tell you, hey, this is just dust. You probably shouldn't post it. This might be a moth. Or at least I think it is. Do you have raw footage? Can I look at it? Can I at least review it? Or can you stop calling it proof of the paranormal when it's a freaking ghost app that I have proof that there's an iApp that does it. There's an app for everything. They made apps that put ghosts in pictures.
And people get so mad when you tell them about their photo.
And that's the thing. I'm not doing it to be mean. I'm not doing it to be a pain in your butt. I'm doing it because I'm not calling you out on it. I'm simply saying, hey, this looks like it could be this. And I'll link a reference point, or I'll even just suggest something or ask for something from them, and they'll get defensive. And I see this all the time, and I'll get banned or blocked or whatever, or the post will get deleted, or my post, not the picture, because the picture is still proof of paranormal to them. But that's my concern, is that if someone's going to do this, you have the burden of proof. And if you can't prove that it is what you're saying it is, why are you posting it? Exactly. That's one of the reasons we don't post any evidence, bunny quotes or whatever, air quotes there. We don't post any real evidence on our page. We post things and say, hey, what do you think of this? What could this be to you? And we take everything in stride. It's, if we want this to become a scientific field, as so many people claim it that they want it to become, you need peer review. You need someone who's willing to talk to you and who's going to say to you, you're full of shit. Sorry, you're full of whatever. It's not broadcast radio, I suppose. You're full of it. And you can't take that negatively. I mean, at least not directly. And people have told us we're full of it. And I take it in stride and say, okay, fine. Yeah. And that's exactly. Maybe it is the case. Yep. I don't simply ignore them. I look at what they're talking about.
So this is like a big fish story.
And yeah,
my fish is bigger than your fish.
And that happens. That's where a lot of this drama comes from, is now I post a picture of something that could be evidence. It could be something. It could be an amazing EVP. And we call it Class A. There's this classing system.
Right.
We can cover that now or some point, whatever. But there's a classing system, and we'll call it, hey, this is a Class A EVP. You can perfectly hear what's being said. No one in the room said it. Now, I can't prove to anybody that nobody was in the room. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't prove to them I didn't tamper with it.
Mm-hmm.
So someone's going to call you out on it. Someone's going to say, no, you're screwed with it. You're going to have people that are outright going to tell you that. You can't simply say, you're wrong, I'm right, too bad. They are, but you can't necessarily say that. So you take it in stride and say, okay, well, we were there. We experienced it. No one was in the room. No one was nearby. Mm-hmm. No one could have made the sound that we saw present. That's why, again, we won't call it proof. 100% proof. We have amazing EVPs. Some of the best I've ever heard. I've heard people who say, oh, we have a great EVP, and it's nothing.
I was going to interject that since we started doing our public series, and Steve actually got to do one this past October with us, the So You Want to Be a Ghost Hunter lecture series. More often than not, people leaving, I always hear them say, wow, that was... That was something that was entertaining, but wow.
Well, we're very entertaining people, and we try to be.
And we've been to many of the other groups' presentations. The ones that we're able to stay awake through, I'm personally offended by the stuff they show off.
And now this is both locally and even, I mean, we've gone to conventions. We've gone to other places, and they do presentations, and I'm sorry, when you're broadcasting what's supposed to be an EVP through speakers, and either you haven't tested it previously to see if you can hear it, or you're simply telling everybody, you're not hearing it right, it says this. You're, one, tainting what it's supposed to be, and two, you're leading them on, and then three, you're completely disqualifying it as evidence, in my opinion.
You're also trying to implant something in their mind,
right,
that this is what you're going to hear.
That's why when we play we play something that could be an EVP, we simply say, what do you hear?
Exactly.
And let them come back. And when I can see somebody look around and look at the person next to them in almost legitimate fear because they just heard somebody say something,
yep,
that is that point where I'm saying, okay, they heard it. And I don't have to correct them with ours. But we don't play things normally that you can't understand because we dismiss those. If something is so garbled that I can't play it to an audience and have them all hear it, I'm not even considering it.
That's right.
So that's where my concern comes from. And that's part of where this drama comes from, is somebody usually ends up calling somebody out or saying, hey, this is an evidence, and it causes this huge fight. Or you have, I liked your page, you didn't like mine. Why? Why didn't you like my page? We're just as good as you are. Or we do an event and suddenly somebody's right up your butt saying, hey, your event wasn't as good as ours. Or now we're doing an event here and you should have done your event. Or,
I've never ran across that on Facebook, to be honest.
I have. Or we've even got the ones too. We've done a couple of events. And this is a personal thing, I guess. I mean, locally more so. We've done events with some of the, what they call para celebrities or people that are celebrities in the paranormal field. John Zaffis,
Dustin
Perry. I can't remember who else we had. Or is that just it?
Just those two for now.
For now. Okay, that's right. We've had them come up and do conventions or presentations with us and events for a couple of reasons. One, we have an ability to get them here, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to bring them in so people can see them and meet them because people want that.
Oh, sure they do.
Both of the two we've had especially have very unique views, very unique stands on these things. They were great together because we had to both come to one of them. And they have a wealth of knowledge that we can't even impart on people. John especially.
Oh.
They'll talk for hours with you if you really want to, and they will tell you everything they possibly can, and it's just so much. But they'll come in, they'll do a presentation, they'll help out, and it's usually to help a historic location raise some money because they need it. And they charge next to nothing because they're simply, hey, I need to get there. Or, hey, I need this amount before because I have to satisfy an agreement. That's it. It's nothing crazy. Or they'll waive certain fees they have in the past just to come up and do these things.
He is fantastic to work with, John and Dustin.
Oh, absolutely.
But you'll get this, and then you'll suddenly get this immediate rage on Facebook. And it's always, non-directional. You know, it's always, well, all these people out there working with so-and-so and so-and-so think they have to because they're big shots. Well, that's not the case. If that was the case, I'd be on TV.
It's all about celebrity. That's all they care about, their name.
Well, you know what? And actually, you know that, and I'm not going to lie, it is a little bit. It is. I brought John Zaffis somewhere. It's not because I want him attributed with my name. It's because he's going to bring people in, and he's going to raise money for that location we're working with. If it's a tool in our box, we will use it.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. I'm not calling John a tool. I'm sorry. He should know that.
But that's the thing. Not everybody in our area cares or even knows who he is. Right. For those that do know who he is, that's a treat for him. If it wasn't for us bringing him in, they're never going to get to meet him.
Right. And that seems to be the case. And we do have a convention that comes in the area, and that's a great convention, ScareCon. And they bring in people, sometimes paranormal celebrities. You've had the Ghost Hunters there in the past. All kinds of stuff like that.
I mean, I got to meet Fred Williamson. He busted my chops. That was worth every penny of that autograph to me.
So did Mike.
Yes.
You got to be careful who you give a stay spooky bracelet.
But it is amazing.
But he took it in stride. That was hilarious.
Oh, sure he did. Absolutely.
But it's amazing. And it really is a great opportunity for people to meet these people and get along. I mean, especially if you go to ScareCuse, we're usually there, or ScareCon, we're usually there so you can meet us, which is the most important people in the place, but that's not the point. I'm going to get a lot of flame for saying that. I'm kidding, of course, sometimes.
Fred Williamson was the man. I mean, he had all these pictures laid out. They were all from dusk till dawn. And he only had one where he was holding a beer can, Cobra beer. And I point down, I'm like, can I get that one autographed, sir? I'm a big fan of your work. And he's like, from dusk till dawn? Because you could tell he'd already had it about from dusk till dawn. I'm like, no. I'm like, you were in MASH? I'm like, this? That I named off like four or five of his movies. And he's like, he raised his eyebrow, took the cigar out of his mouth. He's like, they're too young to know about King Cobra beer, ain't you, son? And then he made me do the commercial. But when it was all done, he told me that I was smooth.
There you go. And that's the most.
And then gave me an autograph. And then that's kept yelling smooth as I was walking down the.
And that's awesome. And that's the thing.
Where are you going to get that? Or that's what people don't understand. Yes, it is maybe a little boost to our ego here and there. I won't lie. I mean, But we give back. We give back.
And I'll just to consider something. For someone, I have maybe one or two people that I've met that have been in movies, on TV, self-proclaimed, or even just famous people.
Myself.
I've only met maybe two, three at most people who have been so full of themselves that it's impossible to truly talk to them.
Myself.
So they're just people. And that's the problem. I mean, yes, they have a name. They have a following. They bring people to events. I'm not making money on these events. More often than not, it's all charity.
We do not say the name of that site because it is a national site, but there is a national website where we normally get trashed on locally by many of the other groups. I'm actually known as Mr. Lurch. David is known as Dr. Dork.
And Dr. Dork. Yes.
They always attack our team. But to me,
I'm fine with it.
That's the greatest form of flattery, is somebody making fun of you.
At this point, when I first saw a few of these things, I flipped out because I thought, who are these people to start saying this stuff? And why would you be so mad about somebody doing something positive?
I flipped out when I first joined the team. It seemed like every other week,
There was something new. But then,
they actually did. They called Pete Lurch, and it really flamed me, I'll tell you.
Right. And now consider this, though. I mean, what we've done, we do the client services we do to help people out who are either on wit's end or need some kind of help.
Yep.
We do everything we can for them. We do that. That's a service already that we're not charging anybody for, never will. So we have nothing negative there.
Nope.
We've done charitable events. We're trying to organize more.
Right now, for those listening, to say, you talk about dedication. The local Live Strong group asked us to put on an event to raise money for their cancer organization.
We're working
on our idea of small and their idea of small
totally different things.
And if we can pull it off, it's going to be a large donation. It's going to.
Right. And that's what we're trying to do. Any donation is good, period.
Absolutely.
But when we get involved, we dump everything we have into something like this. When we did the toy drive for the kids for the Salvation Army, we dumped everything. We had people coming in. We were sitting in the back room at Denny's, invited anybody who wanted, any of the couple thousand people that follow us on Facebook.
It was 13 boxes, I think, we ended up
something
getting.
Huge, yeah. It's like we figure, hey, anybody wants to come in and talk to us and sit with us and just go over evidence or do anything they want. We put up our DVR. We're going through evidence. I keep saying the term, but going through everything we have and listening, looking, and experiencing what it's like. Other people would charge for these kind of events. We simply said, bring a toy, bring food, bring something to put in a box. It's all there. It's just come and hang out. Or just come and say hi and drop something off. And we had people coming in by the dozens.
So we have good karma points going on.
But that's what we do. We're a community. We named ourselves after the community. We are a community group. We do things for the community. We do things outside our community. We do things in general for anybody who needs help. And
we do a local event too, which brings out the not so finer aspect of our community.
We do the Rome Garage Sale, and we do the Canal Fest every year. Unless something comes up that prevents it, we will be there. And that's because
people look for us. They're
long days. They're sweaty days sometimes.
Yes, they are.
There are things that go on at some of these events that make you kind of cringe. But you go and we talk to people. People come to us, tell us these stories that they've experienced, and they feel better leaving. And that's what we're there for.
Yep.
Yes, and I will admit outright, it is publicity. It is gladly somebody come over and I hand them a card. But I'm not handing them a card because they're going to come to me and they're going to pay me to come to their house. It's not publicity to get money. It's publicity to help people.
We have a rigged duck pond for crying out loud so their kids can win a free toy.
You're always a
free toy that
don't
we...
Don't tell your kids. Let them pretend it's actually
fun. Yes, that we pay for.
We do our local things and we enjoy them. We're even hopefully, very shortly, going to have an office in Rome.
That is a goal.
Where do you see the online trash markets then?
You know what?
See, I don't say the name of that website because everywhere else around the country, it's utilized for what it should be. But for our area, it seems to be the repository.
Not everywhere, but most places, it seems to be used decently. Now, that's the thing. Yes, we're looking at getting an office, and it's a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
And again, we're a dues pay membership. That's where that's coming from, is the dues of our members to try and provide us something that's more effective. It's partially for the radio show, so we don't have to tear everything down, and there's no 720 train. It's also
can't wait.
It's also because it's local, and if someone needs to come in, we don't have to go meet at the local eatery. We can say, hey, come to our office. Sit down and talk to us. There's no other purpose. It's something simply to have office hours, have the opportunity to do these events or the radio show and these other things without having any major issues. It's a great opportunity.
It's the greatest Fortune 5 company that ever existed that doesn't actually have a Fortune or 500 involved in any way.
Well, 500 is probably about what we've...
if somebody needs to meet me there, I'm going to be... I live very close to where our proposed office is going to be.
We will have the availability.
So I can meet anybody there.
Yeah. Right. We'll have it set up for a purpose. And that's the thing. And we will get flamed for it. I guarantee it. They're going to say, oh, these big shots have an office. Oh, good for us. Well, you know what? It's a place for me to hang my hat when I go to do the work. It's a place for us to store case files. It's a place for us to do these other things that are going to be useful. And it's amazing. And that's the thing. I mean, it's a great office, great security, great everything set up. Mm-hmm. We're good to go. And I'm sorry, when it comes to security, we're probably the best people out there because we already have our own. We go house to house with it. So we're set up there. But that's what concerns me is that you're going to have people out there who are going to say, these people have this huge ego and have these problems. That's never what we've been about.
No.
And never will be.
I do have a huge ego, I will admit that.
It's a whole caravan to fit it, but that's not the point. It really is simply to help people. Always has been, always will be for us. There's no trend we're following. There's no...
We don't have to be better than anybody.
We just are. We're better than most.
No, and that's the thing. I'm not claiming to be better than anybody else. I'm just saying that if you're not doing things right, you're simply not doing things right. And that's either you're disrespecting your clients, you're charging for your services, you don't have any right to charge for, you're trashing things, you're damaging things. Heck, I've gotten arguments with people over taking pictures in cemeteries where they're in a cemetery at night for that, or they have a group photo in a cemetery. There's the
850.
But that's the thing. I mean, we've had these issues. I've had these arguments with people, and it's a matter of respect at that point. On our page, on our Facebook page, we have pictures of the local cemetery. Not at night, not on an investigation, not for any other purpose, but the simple beauty of the place and the historical reference and documentation. That's how it's being done right. And that's not even for paranormal purposes. It got put there because it's a local community, part of the Rome area, and we posted it.
Let's slam that other group we have to. Let's just do it. Do that. They're not in existence anymore. We won't say their actual name, but to show how much people fear the RIP. See, I think with the older school investigators, they know we're the real deal and we commend their respect. And that's why they work with us.
And we respect
them
back. That's
why the TV people are afraid of us and watch us because they know they're the real deal and they are a threat because they are the real deal. Not that TV is our goal, but if there's anybody out there who's offering, we'll consider it. But we went to a presentation because we check out everybody who does anything in our area. Now, this is a group longstanding that physically threatened violence against us and told me if I ever came to a particular city that I was going to experience a beatdown, whatever that means. Do they realize that I'm 6'2 and 290 pounds? A beatdown is not going to happen unless you're bigger than me. I'm angry and I have diabetes. You're not going to win.
I'll get Cousin Squatch involved. We'll be good to go.
The first thing Grandpa always taught me in a fight is punch him in the... Anyway.
We'll go with
nuts. Drop to your knees, headbutt him in the nuts, then jump up and hit him in the chin with your head. But that's... Ladies out there, remember that. If you get attacked, drop to your knees, headbutt the nuts, stand up and hit him in the chin with your head.
On that note, stay classy, ladies of the paranormal, stay classy.
And then break their nose.
There you go. But
they got up and they saw us come in because did we wear our shirts that day? No, I don't even think we wore anything to identify us.
We did everything we could to prevent them from thinking we were there to cause problems. We weren't. We were simply there to see the presentation.
And the first thing their crooked ringleader said was, there's not going to be no questions from nobody in this audience.
If anybody answers a question,
I'm throwing yous out. If anybody asks anything about our evidence, I'm throwing you out. And it just went, and we know they were referencing us specifically, which we would never embarrass them like that. There was only one time we did that, but.
Not even really to embarrass. It was just simply to ask a legitimate question. But this was the most professional man in the world up there in a t-shirt and shorts trying to give a presentation that he didn't. He had written on 3x5 cards. He couldn't remember any of it and sidetracked himself a couple dozen times.
And they pranced their team members across the stage like they were like props or something. I don't even remember their presentation than it sucked.
A lot of their team members were great people too and were really interested, and that's a shame because it wasn't the team that was causing problems. It was one person seeking drama.
One or two that wanted everything.
Well, it was a couple. And it was them proclaiming that they're fighting drama when they're really causing all of it because we sat back and let it go.
Mm, yeah.
And to further our hatred. They set up several events, some taken from us, trashing our name, where they sold tickets, collected money, and never gave any of that to the locations.
It was the one in particular that they decided to run raffles, I think, or something, or yes. 50-50s, whatever it was. And they took all the money and all the possible baskets and winnings and never awarded anything.
And that's the kind of thing that makes it hard for groups like ours. Well,
it gives us a bad name.
It gives us a bad name. Wait a minute. The other group was paranormal and they did that. You're going to do it to us too. And that's not the case.
You fear your doctor, or you fear all doctors to a degree. If you go to your doctor and he starts beating on you with a hammer just so he can make some broken bones to fix, you're going to think all doctors do that. All dentists pull your teeth and make you hurt. That's what people think, because that's the sensation you're given when you get that. And that's the case. I mean, absolutely go to your doctor and dentist, but that's what people think. That's why it's very important to leave a good impression. And to be professional, which is what we've always done. We never take pictures in cemeteries at night, whatever, because we don't want people thinking that's okay. Mm-hmm.
How many times, Steve, have they said, oh, we had your group in here before? We've never been there.
Yes, that's happened.
And that's on consultations.
Oh, last time you guys were here.
We've even had homeowners say, these people used to be part of your group. And I've asked you, and you said, my best Pete imitation. No.
That's why we've always kept our membership shirt to one color. We've never changed it.
We keep ourselves in a very specific appearance.
Any of our friends and stuff, we give them a different color shirt. And we'll ask, what color shirt were they wearing? Oh, it was green. No.
It was someone who simply has one. But yes, that's what it is.
And we've reached the end of another show. So I hope you learned something, that we are the watchdog of the paranormal.
And one Steve, of the many.
Steve has a big bite, and he's not afraid to bite your Roscoe off if he gets mad.
That just sounds quite dirty, Pete.
Yes, it did. Thank you, Pete.
On that note.
Remember to hit us up on Facebook, and please to give us any topics you want to discuss and let us know.
Next week we'll be at Gettysburg. I didn't mean to overcut you, Mark. From 10th to the 13th, and we are out of time. So
yes,
I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
And I'm Mark Berry. Thank you for listening.
To have a good night. Paranormal Investigator Radio on the BBS Radio Network, the greatest radio station in the world.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.